Support for this program comes from Eric's Gaze. Today is Iris Berkeley's 40th birthday, but the pandemic means she can't celebrate with friends. So Eric wanted to underwrite music programs at KGNU in honor of her birthday. Thank you, Iris, and happy birthday.
This is KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Tonight's program was recorded in 2015.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a special edition of Cabaret featuring the Jake Sheps Quintet, who will be performing music from their fabulous release, Entwined, that was released on January 27th. Jake Sheps Quintet. This is a really heady release that has just been released. Entwined. Jake, can you explain the concept of Entwined and the concept of all the different classical composers?
Sure. Over the last couple of years, I've been working with living composers to write pieces for the five-piece string band, kind of the original bluegrass, Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys, when Earl Scruggs joined the band. That kind of solidified what is the five-piece bluegrass band. And so I've been asking living composers to write pieces for this instrumentation, kind of classically trained composers. And I think, as far as I know, they're some of the first ever commissions for this instrumentation from composers outside the genre. Plenty of people have written from within the bluegrass world, but a classically trained composer. And so those first couple pieces we played were from a great composer out of Chicago named Mark Mellitz. And Mark is of the post-minimalist vein, and we played a couple movements of an 8-movement suite called Flatiron. And we played – the first one was called F-Hole, and then we also played Herringbone.
Herringbone was the one where you have the stops and you start again. And
exactly.
Beautiful, beautiful. Something about when you commission these works to be done, you wanted to make sure that the attributes of bluegrass instrumentation were not lost in these compositions.
Sure. It was important to me that the composers kind of, not that they were familiar with bluegrass, that's by no means a prerequisite, but that they listened to some and kind of had some ideas of how the bluegrass band and these instruments interact and function. Because, like they'd be very familiar with how a string quartet works and the way we kind of work and what our strengths are and what the strength of the ensemble is different, and it's not inherently just intuitive from listening to the music, but you got to listen to a lot and kind of talk about it and realize the different roles of like what a mandolin chop is and what that means and what they can do with that is certainly, it's a lifelong study really. But so I sent them a lot of kind of contemporary string band music and even older traditional bluegrass stuff, and just for them to listen to and get an idea of how it functioned. And then I wanted them to deconstruct it or reflect on it in whatever way, or just write their own voice, but at least kind of hear and use our instruments in ways that that are idiomatic to these instruments, but that they not just kind of writing, okay, here's the range of the banjo, and I'll just write some notes that I might normally mm-hmm. write.
Right. So they kind of had to get into your head a little bit.
That was my hope.
Yeah. Was there ever any give and take where maybe they would send you something and you would say, well, no, it's missing this attribute, or maybe you need to add this in, or was it like a give and take process that went back and forth a little bit?
A little bit. I asked them to incorporate a little improvisation. Like everybody here, you know, bluegrass has a strong tradition of improvising, and everybody within the quintet are excellent improvisers. And so I wanted that to be some component, and so there's a few solos kind of scattered throughout the record, but I really wanted them to. It was about their take on these instruments more than me telling them what their take is.
Right. Yeah. Otherwise, you could write it, or for example, right. But so you wanted to see how they would interpret this kind of string band music.
In some ways, and also just to hear their kind of compositional voice as expressed in this by these instruments. Like you listen to a string quartet, all those voices really sound very similar, and they cross over in all these ways. And the idea is that it sounds like one giant kind of bowed string instrument, or plucked if they're playing pizzicato. And all of us have such different timbres that I think that it would you know, just to explore what that music might sound as you tease it apart and kind of set it within, you know, guitar versus mandolin versus kind of an arco violin and banjo. And
Wow. So how did you select each of these? Were you fans of Mark Mellitz or Matt McBain or Gian Reilly?
I stumbled upon Mark Mellitz's music and fell in love with it. He recorded a great record called Real Quiet, or the band was Real Quiet, and the name of the record, I think, is Tight Sweater. And I fell in love with that record, and I contacted Mark and sent him my previous Bartok CD, and we just started a conversation. And I thought it'd be fun to have him write something for us. And then I listened to lots of other composers, and kind of fell on Matt McBain's work via the New Amsterdam label, which is a great label out of New York. And Matt leads a band called Build, and in his band, he plays violin, but it's also piano, bass, drums, and cello. And so he really kind of writes for a band in a certain way. Like, it sounded more like a band concept than a classical ensemble. And so that drew me to Matt. And Matt Flinner here introduced me to Gian Reilly. They played together in the Modern Mandolin Quartet.
Oh, wow.
So I listened to, and Guion is just virtuoso guitarist and phenomenal composer, and that's how I
excellent.
Found him.
And one last question before we go on, because this is a fascinating project. We could probably talk all day about this for sure. But how did you select these, I guess, these headings for the Suites of Music for the, those that don't have the CD yet? There's like four major sections of the CD, and then they have headings like Flat Orange, Drawn, Migrations, and Stumble Smooth. And then there's music underneath those.
Sure. I mean, those are the titles of the suites that, came from that came from the composer. And so Mark Mellett's titled the whole suite Flatiron. And if you go and you kind of listen to or you listen to other Mellett's music and dig up some of his song or titles of his pieces, they're very, very eclectic, like Tight Sweater or Exposed Zipper. Mechanically Separated Chicken Parts is another one of his movements.
Okay. All right.
And then Mr. McBain, he likes one-word titles, and for some reason I asked him about it, and he just said the word drawn was what came to him. Matt has a story behind the name Migrations, which he'll talk about when we play that. And I don't know, Guion's piece is really – that's a fairly aptly titled piece, but they sent those titles. That was kind of
wow.
Names
okay.
of the pieces.
And would they send it to you? And here I go. It's not my last question, but would they send it to you in just this form here, and then you set it all out, and you guys played it, and see how it sounded? You sight read it, I guess.
More or less, yeah. They sent us parts, and as they kind of finished movements, they would send along parts, and we sent it out, and then we'd all get together and see how it worked. And usually, and then the composers came out as right before we premiered all these pieces here in Boulder, and or actually one in Denver. But
right,
the composer was kind of came out and worked with us to make sure that we were kind of capturing what they were intended. Because there's lots you can write on the page, but there's also lots of things that things that are beyond the actual written page.
Really?
Having them in the room with us and saying, actually, like, this is the melody. There might be we're all playing single lines,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard to tease out, like, actually what the guitar is playing is the most important. Like, that is the melody that should pop out, and so we should all back off. And some of that stuff might, you know, at times was hard to interpret just from the page.
So there was a little bit of modification once they were in the room with you?
Sometimes a little bit, but more just like us really kind of making sure that we had all the dynamics correct and yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. This has been a great sort of primer for what you're doing on Entwined and
yeah.
Where are we going to go next?
We're going to play the title track, which is a movement of Drawn. It's called Entwined, and it's written by Matt McBain, and it's an example of additive music, and we each play a little kind of 1-3 note figure that we build one note at a time, and so we can kind of each play what our figure will be. If do you want to play yours? This is Ryan Dricky on the violin. And then Ross Martin on guitar will play this. Ross is working hard over there on that one note.
And here's the mandolin part.
Matt Flanner.
Let's see, this is.
Mm-hmm. And here's Eric Tureen on the upright bass.
So is that kind of challenging to get everybody synchronized? Just you have to play a few notes and stop or whatever?
For sure, this piece. And so here's my figure is so we will come in one note at a time, and while each one of these figures individually sounds fairly easy to play and is fairly easy to play, to get this piece together took quite a few hours. So here's Entwined. Thank you.
From a layman's point of view, maybe, that could almost be interpreted as a conversation between instruments.
Sure.
I mean, the acoustic bass is starting, and the guitar and him are talking for a while. And then I think maybe the fiddle comes. Then you came in. Yeah. But it almost seems like there could have been two conversations. You know, it kind of dies out in the middle. And then it sounds a little different, and it comes back. There's another conversation.
Right. Then we start talking about politics.
Politics. It gets a little louder.
And then it gets really dissonant and strange. We go back to talking about pop culture.
Interesting. Really interesting. I like that the line that Ryan was playing, and then Matt would have that note or two notes that you played on, you know.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Well, the whole thing was cool.
We're going to play the fourth movement from Matt McBain. It's called Repose. And one of the things of note about this is that we all play without picks.
Without picks.
Banjo, usually I have kind of two finger picks and a thumb pick on, and Ross plays flat pick guitar, and Matt plays with a flat pick as well. And so the directions in the score is to play without picks. And we also make kind of other noise, a little bit of noise on our instruments and glissandos, and I rubbed the plastic banjo head.
Now, what was the idea of the composer suggesting whatever not to have picks? Why do you suppose he wanted to do that?
I think he just wanted something that sounded different. He did a lot of he listened a lot to a lot of different music, and he spent a lot of time listening to Flatiron, which we had already recorded at that point, and just kind of looking for other terrain for him that's kind of to how to express his voice where it sounds really different, and maybe terrain that's not usually heard on amongst these bluegrass instruments, and usually bluegrass banjo players are playing with picks on,
so, yeah,
unless they're playing clawhammer style, but
Repose.
Here's Repose. Thank you.
You are listening to the Cabaret program here on listener-supported KGNU. Tonight is an archive recording from the Jake Sheps Quintet from March of 2015 with host Dan Wilging.
Wow. We're listening to selections from Entwine from the Jake Sheps Quintet. Wow, that's... Why do you suppose he called it Repose? I just have my own weird thoughts of why he did that, but...
I think that's actually, yeah, what do you can...
Should I go for it?
Yeah.
Okay, here it goes. I don't know, could it be like okay, this might be too far out, but, because sometimes I can be off, but it almost sounds like a soul going into an afterlife kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, there's different passages or things along that journey, and finally gets to a very restful state.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Yeah.
Okay, there it is, folks.
Is there a banjo at the end of the tunnel?
The banjo triumphs. All right, so we're listening to selections from Entwined from the Jake Shepson Quintet, and this is really a heady piece of music. I recommend it for everybody to listen to it to get it, but do plan on spending some time digesting it. There's a lot here, I think.
Yeah, there is quite a bit of music. It ends up, I think it's like 78 minutes of music on the record.
And it was 3 years in the making.
Just about, from when I kind of first flew out to Chicago and met with Mark Mellitz. But we recorded the pieces over about a 14-month period.
Did it ever seem like to you that it would never end?
in more ways than I could say on the air.
Wow.
Yeah, it was an incredible project and like an honor to work with these folks, and part of the idea in the project, I wanted to kind of juxtapose a composer from within the string band world to write something a little more from our more familiar voice. And Matt Flinner, who's here and playing mandolin, is a phenomenal composer, and he wrote a 4-movement suite entitled Migrations that is also featured on the record, and maybe he can tell us.
Yeah, Matt, can you tell us about Migrations?
Sure.
Yeah, so Jake brought me in to bring the hillbilly element, I think, to the record and see what happened with that. Just, it was great to be part of the experiment, you know. So what I tried to do, it really was like we didn't know what was going to come.
I used to hear the Jake Sheps expedition. Now it could be the Jake Sheps experiment.
Yeah. Well, this was a wonderful, you know, experiment and experience. And so I tried to I wanted to have it, this piece grounded in some kind of, let's say, old-time maybe music tradition somewhat anyway, at least to have some element of, you know, what I grew up playing and still play is basically bluegrass music or bluegrass-centered music, you know. So that's how I think, I suppose, musically, at least. That's the center of my musical thinking, probably. So I didn't want to, like, not embrace that, you know, but try to go deeper into it maybe with some what I would think of, at least, or what I know of, and you know, play a little bit of, you know, the earlier old-time music and trying to get sort of the raw elements of that sort of feeling anyway into it. And so that was a big part of what I was trying to do, and just collected a bunch, or wrote a bunch of melodies and then decided how to piece the whole thing together and with some of those melodies. And so some of it might sound a little bit, I don't want to say fiddle tune-ish, but maybe a little bit, you know? And yeah. Trying to use the fiddle open strings the way you would have in old-time music quite a bit. So anyway, it turned into four movements, and we're going to do the first one right now.
How long did it take you to compose all that? I'm just asking because I remember seeing your Tejure concerts.
Yeah.
I think you've done two of those.
I figured it probably should take like 4 days because four movements, you know, one a day seems like, so it took a little longer than that. It was different writing like with, you know, a lot of time. I wasn't used to that lately.
Yeah.
I had, you know, what, at least probably a year.
You did four movements within a year?
I probably really worked on it for 4 or 5 months pretty hard, you know. But there were, you know, I'd be collecting ideas over a long period of time, but it was a good few, you know, maybe 4 or 5 months of pretty intense work on it. But and actually, can I have a few more months on it still? I still would like to do more with it. But, so we'll do the first movement now. And I think we'll do the fourth. Well, we could talk about that between maybe if you want. But, so this is the first movement of Migrations.
And this is the part of the show that I always like, too, is the tuning because it brings back memories. The first time I was in this room.
This is what Matt wrote into the score. Spend at least 5 minutes tuning.
Want it to be authentic, you know.
And then for the banjo to be out of tune after the 5 minutes.
Very specific.
Thank you.
the first movement of Migrations from Matt Flinner, composed by Matt Flinner, as performed by the Jake Sheps Quintet on Cabaret. You know, that's a different type of feel than the other composers we've been listening to, the selections from them.
Yeah, for sure. Like what Matt was saying in terms of him kind of coming from bluegrass as well as wanting to really kind of utilize some of that language and vibe. And Matt's also like a phenomenal banjo player, even though he doesn't.
Well, I remember that. Yeah.
Usually, he doesn't admit that in public.
But he performs it in public, really.
He performs on occasion, but he's one of my favorite banjo players. But what was really nice is, you know, banjo of these instruments for most composers, the banjo was the most enigmatic and challenging to write for. And Matt, being a banjo player, he wrote a lot of things that were very idiomatic for the banjo, including a capo up to play in A for a couple of these two movements that we're playing now, which
I didn't think they were that idiotic. idiomatic.
That's kind of interesting. Since you weren't playing the banjo, maybe you could have thrown some really tough stuff at them, huh?
Well, I tried to a little bit, but I tried to make sure that it worked out with the, you know, the banjo is very specific with the way the way you pick it. You know, there's rolls that, you know, R-O-L-L-S, rolls that you play that you got. That's if knowing how that works helps a lot, you know, so that it's not impossible to play, basically.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, it gives you. Yeah, already have a background in the banjo, so you can write for the banjo easier than trying to write for it as a foreigner.
It's a strange instrument to write for. Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's very unique. It's got the fifth string just throws everything off, you know, and then you're playing with your finger, instead of a pick. It's just a really specific kind of instrument. So,
some of the previous compositions had sort of this minimalist thread in them, but this one did not. Is that a good interpretation of that, I just said?
Well, I guess we've all heard minimalism, you know, from Philip Glass and people like that, and I love that music, but I also wanted to contribute something that would be different anyway. I don't know if I could write a minimalist piece very well, you know, so it was coming from bluegrass, but I studied composition in college, and so I was exposed to a lot of different kinds of music that probably helped to kind of inform different ways of writing, I suppose, you know, so, but wanted to have it be... try to make, like everybody in this project did, try to make the most of the instrument's strengths. And so part of that is, for example, the banjo roll, you know, and the open strings that get used on the instruments to kind of make them sound fuller and that kind of thing. So,
Do you have any background in acoustic bass and a violin that you could, that helped you write this as well?
Other than just... You know, having played bluegrass with violin, with fiddle players and bass players, not really that. I mean, I've tried to play both, but not well. But So we'll do the fourth movement now. The Migrations title, I guess we kind of alluded to earlier. So that was the idea of the title was that a lot of the old time musicians had to leave their homes when they lost their coal mining jobs or whatever, you know, work they were in. They often would have to move to the cities. That was a pretty common thing anyway, that, you know, it was a hard life eking out a living in a lot of these small towns in West Virginia and North Carolina and places. And that idea of having to leave home to get a job in the city and bringing your music with you, and which led to more people probably being aware of old time and eventually bluegrass. So
that's kind of what started it off, people discovering it outside. You know, the locale, the Appalachian locale.
That's a big part of it. You know, there's very regional styles still within Appalachia. You know, there's certain areas of North Carolina, they're very specific with the way they play the fiddle or the banjo, and that still survives. But, you got all this mixture of these old-time styles in the cities. You know, I don't know that much about this, but, I mean, it did expose it to more people, and some groups got jobs playing on the radio, too. You know, that brought it to more people in the cities. They'd play on the radio every day. And
do you think it ever homogenized it a little bit?
Well, that's what, you know, bluegrass may be the homogenization of all that stuff in a way. You know, even though the banjo playing is very different, the way Earl Scruggs created, you know, a new style. But the other stuff, I don't know. I mean, it's, you could say that. There are different styles within bluegrass, but it did bring old time to just a different place. and maybe blended a lot of those things together.
Yeah, for more exposure and appreciation of the music.
And it was just a natural evolution of the music too, you know, and the way the people, the way Bill Monroe and those, all those guys in that, in the 40s played it was, you know, a natural expression of what had happened before, but kind of bringing it to a new level or a different, cool. just to a different place, really.
Interesting. But,
anyway, okay, so this is fourth movement, and here we go.
the Jack Sheps Quintet, if you're tuning in late. And that was the fourth movement of Migrations. Jake, are there any plans to perform this in other cities in 2015?
I hope so, yeah. We'll probably be taking this. We were out on tour in the East Coast last month. And yeah, we'll probably be cruising around for a while with this music.
Awesome. I hope more and more people get to witness it. So fantastic.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do next?
I think we're going to play another piece by Mellotz, but I just kind of want to make sure that I introduce everybody who's here. And this on violin is Ryan Dricky, mm-hmm. and on guitar is Ross Martin. And that's Matt Flinner on mandolin and Eric Tureen on the upright bass. So big round of applause.
Round of applause, yes.
And we'll play another movement by Mark Mellotz. This is from Flatiron. It's called Planetary Tuners.
Planetary Tuners. Jake Sheps Quintet here on Cabaret. Can you talk about maybe a few seconds about the different maybe styles of each of the composers?
Sure. I mean, I would say Mark Mellotz is firmly within the post-minimalist world, and the kind of for the fathers of minimalism being Philip Glass and Steve Reich, like Matt was talking about, and then the next generation, which Mellotz falls in, would be post-minimalist, and Matt McBain. Takes a page from that, but also just he living in Brooklyn, he's in just a hotbed of all sorts of music, and so he incorporates all sorts of other influences and inspirations into his music, as does Mr. Mellotz, but McBain certainly is lots of different styles.
Okay. And what about Gion?
Gion
Reilly.
Gion
is Ryan.
Gion just he Gian is a very deep musician, who virtuoso guitarist, like I said, and he I don't know, how would you describe Gian?
Yeah, just maybe a little bit all over the map as far as, you know, the ability to write different things. He's just kind of modern classical that really just kind of kicks butt. I don't know what you call it, though.
His dad is Terry Riley, who is a very kind of world-famous minimalist composer, but also he's famous because of his minimalist composition, but stuff that he wrote in the 60s. But if you listen to more contemporary stuff written by Riley, he's all over the map. He really moved on from that style and composes all sorts of different styles of music, and is also a great improviser. And I feel like Gian is in some ways in his father's mold, and in this grace, really, he's just this consummate musician of a phenomenal composer and performer and improviser and player of the written page. And
okay, so. We want to thank you for coming in and playing this wonderful music for us today on Cabaret.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us, Dan. This has been a blast, and thanks to KGNU for supporting the Jake Sheps Quintet and all the concerts and music and over the years.
Well, we're glad to do it, and we also want to thank George for setting up this sound today. So,
thank you, George.
Awesome. So what are we going to do next?
Ground speed.
Good evening, buenas noches. You're listening to KGNU 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, and also KGNU online, kgnu.org, and afterfm.com. It is 8 o'clock, pretty much straight up. You can stay tuned for Corriente after a couple of programming announcements.
Musica Mundi is Latin for Music of the World. On Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m., this international show spans the globe in musical styles. From obscure field recordings to new recordings of traditional styles, you'll hear music from around the world that you won't hear anywhere else. That's Musica Mundi, Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. on KGNU.
Support comes from Outworld Brewing, reinventing the brew pub experience through sci-fi fantasy themes. Located in between Highway 287 and I-25 on Highway 119 in Longmont. Offering dine-in, takeout, and delivery. More information at outworldbrewing.com.
And buenas noches. Again, this is Elena with you on Corriente here until 10 o'clock. And let you know that I've got some old music, some new music. We'll be having a short interview with Adriana Barca, who is the founder and the chair of the board of the Latino Cultural Arts Center, which is going to be doing some amazing things, is already doing amazing things in Denver. And also, for those of you who are fans of Savia or Conjunto Jardín, we will be doing a short phone interview with Libby Harding, one of the founding members of Savia, at about 9:30 or so, and playing some music in homage, honoring a dear friend. And if there's something you would like to hear, you can write me at dj@kgnu.org. Or when I'm not talking, you can call 303-449-4885. We're going to start, vamos a empezar con, with some music that is from a recording called Abre Sierra, Renace Bacata, that brings together a number of different international musicians, and it's music and offering to our Mother Earth.
Antes del amanecer, ya vivía Serangua, llenando de pensamientos a las montañas. La luna y el sol nacieron de sus entrañas. Antes del amanecer ya vivía Serangua. Entre Cherua y Suribaca duermen las piedras. en donde Cacú Serancua sembró una estrella para que el pueblo Tairona siempre tuviera el equilibrio del mundo sobre la sierra. El infinito es la fuente del pensamiento que late en el corazón de la nieve eterna. La coca en boca del indio es el fundamento y el cordón umbilical del planeta Tierra. Y el cordón umbilical de la madre sierra. Canta sierra, canta la canción, hija de tu alfombra vegetal. Canto de la coca, del poporo y de la cal, que el colono ignora cuando tala en su ambición. Solo en el poporo es donde se debe encontrar el jayu que Serancua mezcló en conchas de mar. Dicen que Serancua